sometimes you just got to grin and bear it. Amen? Let's take... Yeah, cut it out. All right, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to read here the first 11 verses of chapter 15. I'm going to introduce the passage, and we're going to get into our prayer time and then get on over next door and celebrate a birthday. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? All right. I'll give you a few more seconds here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Chapter 15, verse 1. God's Word reads this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, for which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening. We thank You, Lord, for the reading of Your Word. We thank You that we can gather tonight and celebrate who You are and how You love us. And oh, just the victory we have in You tonight. Victory over death. The fact that You resurrected. Fact that we look forward to a bodily resurrection of our own one day. Oh, Father God, we're grateful and thankful. Be with us now, Lord, as we attempt to introduce these 11 verses. And Lord, I pray that You would remind us, encourage us, perhaps even convict us tonight. And Lord, help us be the church. Help us be the Christians You've called us to be. Help us be the servants You've made us to be, Lord. Thank You for the gifts that You've given. Thank You for the obedience represented in this body tonight. Thank You for the faith represented here tonight. And Lord, may You just get the praise and the glory for all that we do here tonight. Be with those, Lord, that perhaps need to make decisions. Lord, as we will not have a formal invitation, the invitation is always open after the service to inquire of the pastor of what it means to receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that You would give those that are on the fence, those that are, Lord, needing salvation, Father, I pray that You would convict them, direct them, and lead them this evening. Thank You for loving us again. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank You for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. May He add His tremendous blessing to it. Well, here we are. We're back in 1 Corinthians 15, and we've taken some kind of a break from it. We finished up last with chapter 14, and we basically handled that on Sunday night because it was just so doctrinally intense, talking about tongues and different things going on. And so here we are, back at the series, 1 Corinthians, and it's important to note that as we look at chapter 15, this chapter is devoted entirely to doctrine, and a single doctrine at that. Now, we've already seen an incredible chapter 14 as it dealt with the right decorum in the public service, in the public worship service of the church as it relates to tongues and other sundry items. And then before that, we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which was a blessed and extensive chapter on the teaching on love in chapter 13. That was good. Amen. Now, before us here this evening, we've got 58 verses, which we're just going to introduce the first 11, but we've got 58 verses that Paul gives us here in this chapter, which are the most extensive treatment of the resurrection of all of God's Word. Right here, we get to begin it this evening. So chapter 14 was a boatload on tongues. Chapter 13 was an incredible chapter on love. And here we are on the resurrection. Just as the modern fuel pump, and if you've ever changed one of these dudes, and ladies, just praise the Lord, you've never had to change one, amen? But if you've ever had to change a modern fuel pump there in the gas tank, you know, you have to drop the whole thing. That fuel pump, it supplies fuel to the whole fuel rail of the car. I mean, without that fuel pump spinning, without it turning and pumping and circulating the gasoline or the diesel or whatever it may be, a destination is not met because a car is not started, right? I mean, the car looking good, but it ain't going anywhere, right? I'm telling you. Just as the primer of a cartridge once struck by a firing pin gets the bullet down the barrel, right? I mean, gets it on down there, giving the bullet a trajectory. Just like the heart in your chest pumps life-giving blood to every part of the body. So the truth of the resurrection, it gives movement, it gives trajectory, and it gives life to every other part of gospel truth. Tell you what, I've been doing this about 20 plus years, I think, and if it was not for the resurrection, folks, I'm telling you, I'd be doing something else today. I have looked death in the face. I have been at so many deathbeds. I have said goodbye to so many good friends. And friend, if it wasn't for resurrection power and knowing that one day we're all going to be together, boy, I tell you, I'd find something else to do. Man, I'm telling you, I believe this. I hold to this. It is everything when it comes to the gospel. The resurrection is the axle on which all of Christianity turns. And without the resurrection, Christianity would be so much wishful thinking. It would just be like all other human philosophies and religious speculations. It would be rubbish without the resurrection. A few just a little introductory points I want to make to you tonight. I don't know if they're really life-altering or life-changing. They may be more just a reminder of what you've already know, but number one this evening, the resurrection was the focal point of every other truth that Christ taught. Christ taught a lot of truth, but I mean, he always came back to the resurrection. Jesus taught his disciples in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, the Word of God reads, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed after 3 days, praise God, rise again. Amen. Mark 9:9 takes them back to that thought, and Mark chapter 9:31 reiterates the thought. Right? John chapter 11, verse 25 reads, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so the point is this, without Christ, you may be living and breathing, but you're really dead, friend, without Christ. And once you get Christ, guess what? You really have come to life. You really have come to life, and death will not hold you any longer. Amen? The first two sermons, the resurrection was the focal point of every other truth Christ taught. But secondly, the first two sermons preached after Pentecost both focused on the resurrection of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 36, and Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 26. What's the big deal with that, Pastor? Well, because of the resurrection truth, the heartbroken followers, those that were crushed because of the crucified Christ, were turned into the courageous witnesses and martyrs who in a few years' time spread the gospel across the Roman Empire and beyond. That's why those two messages are so important in the beginning of Acts. Belief in the resurrection, the truth that this life is only a prelude to the life to come, for those who trust in Jesus Christ, could not be obliterated by ridicule. It could not be obliterated by prison. It could not be obliterated by torture. it could not be obliterated by even death of the martyr. No fear or dread in this life can quench the hope and, praise God, the joy that we talked about this morning. No fear or dread in this life can quench that hope and joy of an assured life to come. Amen. We introduce this passage, number three, because the resurrection is the cornerstone of the gospel, because it is the axle on which everything turns, because it gives movement and trajectory and life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The resurrection has been the target of Satan's greatest attacks against the church. If the devil can squelch the church's preaching the resurrection, if it can get us off on something else, if it can get us focused on ourselves, if it can get us distracted, so to speak, if the enemy can do that, then the church is squelched. And the church is simply one generation from disappearing, friends. The resurrection has to be preached, has to be proclaimed, has to be sung about, as it was so beautifully sung about tonight. Amen? Has to be championed, right? Yeah. See, consequently, the opportunity to believe, if we allow the enemy to have its way, consequently, the opportunity to believe in the life-giving power of the gospel is eliminated. The deity of Christ is eliminated. Salvation from sin is eliminated, and eternal life is eliminated. Is the resurrection important? The resurrection is important. Without the resurrection, number four tonight, without the resurrection, salvation could not have been provided, and without belief in the resurrection, salvation cannot be received. Be reminded of what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 states, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is not possible. To be a Christian is impossible if we do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, as we close it out tonight, introducing these first 11 verses, I want you to remember that 1 Corinthians deals with errors in doctrine by the Corinthian church. Therefore, the doctrinal problem on which this chapter 15 focuses was not the Corinthians' disbelief. It's not their disbelief in Christ's resurrection. They don't disbelieve that Christ rose again, but it's confusion about their own. Boy, that could cause some problems, couldn't it? That could make life not very victorious at all, right? See, introductory point number five is simply this. Paul was not trying to convince them that Christ rose from the dead, but that they as well would be raised with Him in eternal life. Friend, I want to tell you, if you ever thought that the body's not important, you need to confess that sin and move on from it. Amen. Jesus saved all of you. His blood paid for every bit of you. Well, what if that body's cremated? Or what if it's buried at sea? Or, you know, what if it wasn't put in a real good casket? Or what? Hey, man. The power of God's going to bring that body back together. From the ends of the earth, if it has to, that body will be brought back together. And it will be a new body one day. Amen? Amen. To begin the Corinthians' encouragement, Paul lays the foundation in the first 11 verses, reviewing the evidence for Jesus' resurrection, a truth he acknowledges the Corinthians already believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into our prayer time this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, that You're real. We thank You tonight that Your Word is true. We thank You tonight that we can be affirmed in it, washed by it, encouraged from it, challenged with it. And God, as we leave this portion of the service tonight, may we hold to these truths that we've talked about and heard this evening. And Lord, may we be challenged and equipped to share these truths with others this coming week. May we be a people on mission, a church of the open door, ready to receive and ready to invite and ready to give a good answer for the faith we have. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. Well, let's think about our prayer list tonight. Praises. Amen? We got a praise back there? You got a praise. All right, I'm starting from the back and working my way up. That's you, Vince. Yeah.